Portion of scripture that we read together from Revelation chapter 21 records one of the great scenes of heaven that is written or recorded or revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Revelation 21 brings us right to the end of time. After the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the time when John had this vision, he saw at the end of time the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, the holy city, that place where the saints of God reside in perfection between death and the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. He beheld that place descending from heaven to overshadow the earth, the new earth, and to reside there throughout the ages of eternity. And he begins to describe the holy city, the place we call the New Jerusalem or heaven, the abode of the saints that have departed. And he begins to describe what it's like, and he describes it in a way whereby he's telling us what won't be there. There's no more sea. If you want to swim in the ocean, you have to go and do it now, for there'll be no swimming in the ocean in the eternal state. There will be no more sea. And he lists a number of things that there will be no more of, that we experience now, but we will not experience it in the eternal kingdom of heaven. And one of the things that he highlights that there will be no more of is found at the start of verse 4. For he said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Speaking of the saints, the redeemed, believers in Christ, members and citizens of the kingdom of God, they will have all tears wiped away. Heaven is a place where there is no tears, no cause for tears, and therefore they will be done away with. As I think about the year that is coming to a close, I was reminded this week, just in my own thoughts, about the tears that have been experienced by many of God's people, many in this congregation, throughout the past 12 months, for various reasons. The saints of God have wept tears, some privately, some publicly, some openly, some inwardly. But tears have been shed throughout this year. And as I was considering a motto text for 2020, this text of Scripture was impressed upon my heart. Now you might well be wondering in your mind just now, why is he preaching the motto text the last Sunday in December and not the first Sunday in January, as the custom normally is? Well, as I began to consider this text and look at it and begin to consider how we would deal with it, I felt within my own heart that we could deal with it over two Sundays. And so today and next Lord's Day, we want to examine the teaching of this first part of verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and I want you to look back. And I want you to consider that whatever has taken place in 2019 that has caused heartache and tears, as you look forward on whatever may take place in 2020 that may cause the same, I want you to remember there's coming a day when God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let me say by way of introduction that God recognizes the tears of His people. If you turn back to 2 Kings chapter 20, you will read of a well-known incident in the life of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king, one of the great and godly kings in Judah. He was not without his mistakes or his errors or his sins, but he was a great king, and the Lord sent him a message at one point in his life. There in verse 1 of 2 Kings 20, you'll read it. The Lord told him, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Hezekiah was told that his time on earth was coming to a swift conclusion. It was coming to an end. He would have a disease, and it seemed that he was going to die. But Hezekiah in verse 2 tells us that he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. And you read of his great prayer. When we're sick, when we have trouble, we should bring our burdens to the Lord in prayer. Tells us at the end of verse 3 that Hezekiah wept sore. He cried before the Lord. He cried in prayer. His tears were genuine. They weren't put on for a show for anybody else. But they were just shed privately before God. But while no one else witnessed those tears in prayer unto the Lord. Look at verse 5 of 2 Kings 20. The Lord says to the prophet Isaiah, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer." Isn't that a lovely encouragement to God's people? Your secret private prayers, God hears them. And then he says, "I have seen thy tears." Oh, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to God and he shed tears in prayer. And the Lord says to the prophet, "Go back and speak to Hezekiah and tell him, I've not only heard his prayer, but I've seen his tears. Every tear that you shed, God sees it. God recognizes it. God sympathizes with it." Oh, the Lord recognizes tears. He says, "I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will heal thee." It was his message to Hezekiah. God not only recognizes our tears, but the Bible tells us that God records our tears. Turn over to Psalm 56. Psalm 56 is one of the great psalms. They're all great, but this is one that is well known, probably because of verse 3. It's well known because of verse 3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And this psalm was a psalm of fighting. You'll read that in verse 1. The psalmist prays, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." The Christian life is a battle. It is a struggle. It involves the fight. Paul described the spiritual battle. We're to fight the good fight of faith. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. There is a battle and a fight to be fought in the Christian life. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. And David in this psalm, he's experiencing the enemy coming against him and fighting against him. And maybe you've experienced that. The enemy, the old devil, and he uses the powers of darkness, and he uses individuals in this world to come against us, and we feel the fight, and we at times are weary because of it. The psalm was a time of fighting. David was fighting the battle for the Lord, and it was a time of fear. He was fearful of what the enemy may do. For he says, what time I am afraid. And while the Bible exhorts us, fear not. Yet the reality is that in the bodies of this flesh, while we're still this side of heaven, we will have fears within. David acknowledged it. He said, what time I am afraid, and I believe this psalm was one of those times when he was afraid. But it was not only a time of fighting and a time of fear, it was a time of faith. For he said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. My friend, when your fears arise and surround you and the enemy opposes you, it's time to trust the Lord. And look to him, he states that in verse 11 in the psalm. In God have I put my trust. He exercised faith in the Lord at this time. But he still had those feelings of fear. And in his fear, what happened? He shed tears. And maybe when the enemy comes against you, and maybe in your darkest moment of fear, you've shed those tears. You'll see it in verse 8, he mentions his tears. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And the psalmist is saying it's as if the Lord stored up his tears in that bottle. And he recorded every one of them in his book. My, the Lord has the book of life. And he has the book of the law. And he has a book in which he records the lives of the saints. The psalmist said it's as if the Lord is recording every tear he shed within his book. The book of our life stained and with the tears of the saints. He not only recognizes and sees our tears. The one who was all-knowing and all-seeing, recognizing our tears. Yet he records them in his book. God knows all about us. And every tear that you shed, the Lord records it. But when you come to the very last book of the Bible, and to Revelation chapter 21, our text, we discover not only that God recognizes our tears, and that God records our tears, but we discover that God, one day, is going to remove all of our tears. Teardrops, the hymn says, will never stain the streets of the city. No wreath of death on my mansion door. Teardrops aren't welcome inside the gates of heaven. My friend, that time when the Lord glorifies His people and gathers us all unto Himself in perfection and glory, every tear will be wiped away and you'll never shed another tear for all the ages of eternity. God shall wipe away. One of the old Puritans preached on this text. I believe he entitled it God's Handkerchief, because he took that little phrase, wipe away. We often wipe away the tear with a handkerchief. God will wipe away all tears off our eyes. Now, as you read through the Scriptures, you discover that God's people shed tears for various reasons. And in the time remaining this morning, and God willing, we will come back to it next Lord's Day, I want to note in Scripture the reasons why the saints wept and cried, and how we'll never cry over those things anymore. I have at least six of them. We'll look very quickly at three today, and we'll come back and look at the other three next Lord's Day morning. But the first thing I want us to consider, by way of the tears that will be wiped away, I would point out to you that the tears for sin will never be shed again. You read through the Scriptures, you discover that the saints of God cried over their sin. Turn back to Luke chapter 7. You have a couple of instances here or examples that I want to give to you and note, but one of them is in Luke chapter 7 and the verse 38. From verse 36, you have an incident in the life of the Lord Jesus, whereby he was invited to the home of a Pharisee, Simon by name, and he was invited to a feast at Simon's home. He not only ate with the publicans and the sinners, but when the old religious leaders asked him to dine with them, he ate with them, and he used it always as an opportunity to witness and to confront error and proclaim the truth. And on this incident, we're told that in verse 37, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, that is the feet of Jesus, behind him, weeping. You will notice that she stood at his feet weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. She must have been crying it almost more than we can imagine. And she anointed his feet with her tears and with the alabaster box of ointment and wiped his feet with her long flowing locks of hair. And the old Pharisee became critical, and he said, if you knew the type of woman this was, if you were a prophet, you should have known this woman was a sinner. Commentators believe she was an harlot. And you wouldn't have allowed her to touch you. And the Lord Jesus, he tells a little parable about two men who were in debt and who were forgiven. And then he sums it up. He sums it up in verse 44. Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. This woman had experienced the forgiving grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had saved her. He had forgiven her. He had pardoned her from all of our sins. And the Spirit of God had been working within her heart and her soul. And when she recognized the vileness of our sin before the Savior, when she recognized what the Messiah, what He would have to do to forgive her sin and pardon her sin, to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary and to lay down His life, she considered her sin before Him. She wept over the sins that she had committed, and wept at the grace and the forgiving power of the Lord. Wonder this morning, child of God, have you wept over your sin? Have you shed tears over what it cost the Savior to bear away your sin upon the cross? The fact that He has forgiven you all of your sin, the sins that you think, the sins that you say, the sins that you do, and He's pardoned them all. Does it not well up within you the emotion of thankfulness and sorrow for the sin that you committed that sent the Savior to the cross to die for your sin? This woman cried over her sin, recognizing the grace, the power of the Lord to save from it. But if you just turn back to Luke's Gospel, the chapter 22. Just turn over a few pages. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and the verse 62. You see, the woman that was a sinner in Luke 7, we might say she wept over her sin as she came to the Lord for salvation, recognizing its heinousness, and many tears have been shed by those who have come to Christ for salvation. God deals with men genuinely, and He breaks them down to see the error of their ways and how vile their sin is. But there are times when as Christians we sin, we backslide, we let the Lord down. And in Luke chapter 22, you have an example of one such believer. His name was Peter. He was the apostle of the Lord. He had said to Jesus, though all men forsake thee, I will not forsake thee. I'll die with you, Lord. And yet when the soldiers came and arrested Jesus, Peter followed afar off in verse 54. The Savior had told him that by the time the cock would crow three times, Peter would have denied Him thrice. You'll see in Luke chapter 22, verse 60, Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." Don't know the Lord Jesus. I'm not with Him. And immediately while He yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord was some way in the distance. And the Lord turned and looked on Peter, verse 61. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Look at verse 62. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. He knew he'd sinned. He knew he'd denied the Lord. Taking the Lord Jesus to prison and to judgment. Going to beat Him, whip Him, mock Him, spit upon Him, crucify Him to the cross. Peter, in his hour of need, forsaken Him. When the Lord looked at him, He wept. Wept because he'd let the Lord down. I want to challenge you this morning, and I speak to my own heart. Many times have we let the Lord down and it hasn't cost us a thought. Many times have we let the Lord down and we just get on with our daily business as if nothing has happened. Oh, may the Lord give us a tender heart like Peter's. That in those times when we do feel the Lord, our conscience will be pricked. And if need be, we'll shed a tear of sorrow and repentance. Child of God, the reason why the tears in heaven will not flow for sin is because none that defileth shall ever enter in. And in heaven the spirits of just men are made perfect. We'll never sin again in the New Jerusalem. And therefore we'll never have to weep over our sin and over our failure and over our backslidings. The Lord will wipe away all those tears, for He will perfect our souls in holiness. He will perfect our bodies with immortality and incorruption, and we'll never sin again, and we'll never have to shed a tear over sin. Isn't that wonderful? We'll never cry over our sin again. Second thing this morning, and I'm looking at the clock. The clock seems to be going very fast today, but we'll maybe leave it at the second point. I want to take a few moments to just develop this because I know it's relevant to very many people and to the congregation as a whole. But there's not only the tears for sin, but there's the tears of sorrow. Do you know that the first time that weeping is mentioned in the Bible, it's at the thought of death? Genesis chapter 21 is the first reference to weeping in the Bible, and it's actually in reference to Hagar, the wife of Abraham. He took her to be his wife, and he had a son with her. That son was Ishmael, but Ishmael persecuted Isaac when the son of promise was born. And the Lord told Abraham to thrust out the bondwoman and her son. And so she went for a day's journey into the wilderness. And you'll notice in Genesis 21 that verse 15, the water was spent in the bottle. She's in the wilderness, the blazing heat of the sun shining down upon Hagar and Ishmael, the young lad. There's no shelter. They have no water. And Hagar feels that her time has come to an end and they're going to die. The water is spent. Verse 16, she went and said, her dying over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. She sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Hagar and Ishmael are not believers, and yet they're human beings. They have all the feelings and same emotions that you have. She's in the wilderness and the water's spent and her boy, he's on the verge of death. She can't bear to look upon it. She takes him to a place and she sets him down and she removes herself about a bowshot away and she said, I can't bear to look upon the death of my son. But it tells us she lifted up her voice and wept. God done a wonderful miracle and intervened. He came down and he showed Hagar the well, and it's a wonderful picture of the gospel, for they were dying in the wilderness without water. The Lord showed them a well and they drank of the fountain and they lived. Man's dying in his sin, and the work of the cross is like a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood, and if we drink of the water of life that he gives, we'll have everlasting life. But I'm saying to you that the very thought of her son dying brings the first mention of weeping in the Bible. And death is something that brings tears to her eyes. It's tears of sorrow. Sorrow over death. Hasn't this year been a year? Death has visited this congregation. There has been sudden deaths. There has been tragic deaths. And many of you have felt the pain and shed tears over the loss of dear loved ones. You're just like Mary and Martha in John chapter 11. They wept over their brother in John 11:33. We read, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping. Just like Mary and Martha, many of you have stood at the grave of maybe it's been a mother or a father, a husband or a wife, a brother or a sister, a very dear friend. When the Lord Jesus saw Mary and Martha weeping, it tells us in verse 35 that Jesus wept. Jesus knows all about our troubles, and in the days of his flesh, he sympathized in the loss of dear friends and loved ones, and the tears of Mary and Martha and the Jews brought a tear to the eye of the perfect man, the God-man. And if he wept in the days of his flesh over death and what it did to families and friends and loved ones, my friend, that sorrow is real. And sometimes the sorrow of death, we feel that it's unbearable. We read of Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not or could not be comforted. And maybe that's how you have felt this last year. You've lost a loved one, and you just don't feel there's any comfort for your heart and for your life and for your soul. I can assure you this morning that we have a great high priest in the heavenlies, and he is still touched with the feelings of your infirmities, because he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he feels for you, and he'll minister to you. And I'm saying that one day he will wipe away all those tears from your eyes. Tears of sorrow. Because just as there is no sin in the city, there's no death in the city. There's no death in the eternal state of heaven. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Turn to Isaiah 25. It'll be the final reference this morning. Isaiah chapter 25. You see this statement, this text of ours in Revelation 21. It's not the first time it appears in the Bible. No, it appears in Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah's little apocalypse. For chapter 24, 25, and 26, and maybe even 27 of Isaiah's prophecy deals with the last things. It deals with the end times. And there in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8, it says, He will swallow up death in victory. Didn't Paul quote that in 1 Corinthians 15? Death then shall be brought to pass, the saying, death shall be swallowed up in victory. It was Isaiah who prophesied it. And the Lord God shall wipe away tears from off all faces. And that text in Revelation 21, it was originally spoken and ministered in light of the resurrection from the dead. The grave will be swallowed up in victory. Death will be swallowed up in victory. The saints shall rise to everlasting life in their body and soul, glorified together. And then the Lord will wipe away all tears from off their faces. He'll remove the rebuke of His people. There'll be no more death. Oh, when we get to heaven, we'll never stand at the graveside again. There's no cemeteries in heaven, no graveyards in heaven. For we'll live forever, having conquered and triumphed in Christ. And the moment we are glorified in the resurrection, the tears will be wiped away forever, for there's no more death. The loved ones who have gone on before, there'll be the reunion with. You'll never part again. You'll never shed a tear again for the passing of that Christian loved one who has gone before. He'll wipe them all away. We've only got looking at two of our points. We'll come back next Lord's Day, and God willing, we'll look at the reasons why the saints shed tears for other reasons and see how God will wipe them all away too.